Okay, let's unpack this. You've sent us a stack of fascinating stuff all about sleep, especially, for students hitting the books and bracing for exams. And we've all faced it, haven't we? It's late, the test is tomorrow, and you're staring at notes wondering, do I keep cramming or do I actually try to get some sleep?
Yeah, it's the classic student dilemma, isn't it? Fueled by pressure and that feeling that, every extra minute studying has to help. But students face this real conflict between the perceived need to cover everything and, well, the fundamental need for rest.
Absolutely. So this deep dive is all about cutting through that noise. We're going to look at the research you provided and find those key insights that can genuinely help you navigate the pressure of tests and studying, our mission, to kind of extract the essential knowledge about the real impact of that decision, cram or sleep on your brain and, your performance.
And to start that dive, let's confront the immediate choice head on.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's start with a direct confrontation. Napping versus cramming for memory. There's a study from Duke NUS Medical School mentioned in the Tech Explorist article that looks right at this.
Right. They took 72 volunteers and had them learn about, well, an unfamiliar topic for about 80 minutes or so.
Okay, so they get some new information loaded into their brains. Then what happens?
Then they had a 1 hour break. And this is the crucial part. They were split into three groups. One watched a movie, one took a nap, and one revised the material, basically. They cramped.
So the direct comparison is happening during that vital hour, right after learning. And the results, what did they find?
Well, after another lesson, they were tested on the material and the nappers. They scored highest on that first test. The crammers did better than the movie watchers initially.
But there was a catch, right? Like a second test later on.
Exactly. They tested them again later. And after that subsequent test, the crammers' performance, well, it dropped. They actually scored the same as the movie watchers by then. But the nappers consistently performed the best on both tests.
So that short-term gain from cramming just sort of vanished compared to taking a nap. That's pretty striking. What did the researchers make of that?
Well, the lead researcher, James Cousins, he pointed out that cramming might offer, short-term gains, but in the long run, the benefits might not be that great. He even advised, basically, don't stress yourself out just cramming some information into your head. Taking a nap is just as good.
It's just as good as stressing yourself out cramming. I mean, that really challenges the gut feeling a lot of students probably have.
It does. And another researcher, Gillen O'Neill, added a really critical point. Their results showed that extra time spent studying cut into sleep. And this is key. It's this reduced sleep that accounts for the increase in academic problems that occurs after days of increased studying.
So it might not just be that cramming itself isn't effective long term, it's that the act of cramming often messes up your sleep, and that's what causes the problem.
That seems to be the implication. It's the sleep loss driven by the cramming that hurts you.
Which means the Tech Explorers article is probably right to note that napping could be even better than that last minute cramming for actually remembering things.
Seems that way based on this data. And naps aren't just about feeling less tired. The sources mention other benefits like relaxation, reduced fatigue, increased alertness, better mood. But you do have to be careful, right? There are potential downsides like sleep inertia, that groggy feeling, and maybe messing up your nighttime sleep if naps are too long or too late.
Okay, which brings us to the nuclear option for many students, the all-nighter. What does the science really say about the cost of pushing through the entire night?
Yeah, the Daily Nexus and the 74 articles have some pretty stark findings here. Get this. Staying awake for 24 hours straight, it can lead to cognitive and physiological impairment, similar to having a blood alcohol content, or BAC, of 0.10%.
Whoa, 0.10% BAC. Just to put that in perspective for everyone, the legal limit for driving in the US is 0.08%. So, being awake for 24 hours puts your brain in a state that's legally considered impaired. You are quite literally not thinking clearly for that test. You're handicapped.
Precisely. Your brain is severely hampered. The Daily Nexus really highlights that sleep is absolutely crucial for learning, memory, and, consolidating information. Total sleep deprivation. It has significantly harmful effects on remembering stuff you've just learned.
And the flip side is true too, right? Getting enough sleep actually prepares your brain.
It really does. Adequate sleep primes the brain for learning, and it helps strengthen the memories from the day before. And the National Sleep Foundation echoes this. They report that taking a final exam after pulling an all-nighter has roughly the same cognitive effect as taking that test with a BAC of 0.05%.
So whether it's a full 24 hours awake or just sacrificing a big chunk of sleep for an all-nighter before a test, you're actively putting your brain in a state that makes it harder to think, harder to remember, harder to perform. It's like, I don't know, trying to run a race on a sprained ankle.
Exactly. And the data connecting sleep duration directly to academic performance is also pretty compelling. Let's look at that big survey study from Uruguay, the one published in PLOS ONE that you shared.
Right. This one surveyed freshman students about their regular sleep patterns and, crucially, how much they slept the night before a test. What did they find about student behavior when an exam is coming up?
Well, unsurprisingly, maybe, most students drastically cut back on sleep the night before tests. But get this.
Yeah.
Over 10% didn't sleep at all.
Wow, 10%.
Yeah, even for tests starting later in the day, like 1.15 p.m.
Yeah.
That really speaks volumes about the pressure they feel, doesn't it?
Seriously, even with an afternoon test, they're still pulling all-nighters. That's intense.
It is. But the results. They clearly showed a strong positive correlation between how long students slept the night before the test and how well they did specifically the number of correct answers.
Okay.
And this sleep duration the night before was actually a better predictor of performance than their usual everyday sleep habits.
Huh. That's a really key insight right there. The sleep right before the test seems to be a major, major factor.
It really looks like it. And when they converted the predicted scores to Uruguayan grades, it's a 0-12 scale, 3 is the lowest pass, they found that students getting around 8 hours of sleep, they achieved a passing grade. Those who pulled all-nighters, they did not. On average.
That's a stark difference. Pass versus potentially fail, and it seems directly linked to sleep the night before, at least according to this data.
Yeah. And interestingly, they also noticed that performance and sleep duration tended to be better for students whose tests started later in the day.
Okay, does that just mean they had more time to cram right before?
Well, the study actually accounted for that. They said study time was pretty similar across the different test start times. So it wasn't just last-minute cramming. It reinforces the idea that sleep duration itself really matters. It's not just about study time.
Gotcha. And that study also pointed out a broader issue with student sleep in general, didn't it?
It did, yeah. A high rate of generally short sleep, like less than 7 hours a night, was reported. Over half in one survey, about a third in another. It's sadly not surprising and lines up with other data we see.
Like that finding mentioned in the 74 and the Reddit thread referencing a study in PNAS that apparently every lost hour of nightly sleep correlates to about a 0.07 drop in end-of-term GPA.
Right. And that specific example pulled from the Reddit thread, where a student sleeping 7 hours a night during exams scored, on average, 1.7 points higher out of 20 than those getting just 6 hours.
An 8.5% difference. That 1.7 points might sound small, but on a 20-point scale, that can definitely be the difference between grades.
Absolutely.
Now, okay, you'll see some discussion in places like those Reddit comments, and it's an important point. About the classic correlation versus causation question. Like, are students who sleep more just better prepared overall, maybe more organized, and the sleep is just part of a package of good habits?
That's a very fair question. And it's complex. You know, good habits often do cluster together. Someone who plans their study schedule might also plan their sleep schedule. However, the biological mechanisms we're about to get into, they provide a pretty strong argument that sleep isn't just a marker of good habits. It actively enables better cognitive function and performance. It's not just that well-prepared students sleep more. It's that sleeping is one of the habits that helps them perform better.
Okay, let's get into that biological blueprint then. Why exactly is sleep so fundamental for learning and memory? The Yale School of Medicine source you included really goes deep on this, right?
It does, and it provides crucial context for all this data. Basically, sleep is essential for both memory formation and memory storage, for what scientists call episodic memories. You know, memories of events, facts, the stuff you're trying to learn for a test. There are two key phases.
Right. Encoding and consolidation. I remember reading that.
Exactly. Encoding is that initial capture of information. It happens quickly in networks of neurons in the hippocampus while you're awake and learning. It's necessary, obviously, you have to get the info in there first.
But it's not enough on its own for long-term memory?
Correct. That's where consolidation comes in. And this process happens primarily during sleep, particularly during what's called slow-wave sleep. This is when the encoded information gets integrated, kind of filed away properly, into long-term storage networks in the neocortex. Sleep provides the optimal, quiet conditions for this integration to happen effectively.
So trying to learn a ton of stuff and then pulling an all-nighter is basically like writing a bunch of files to your computer's temporary cache, but then shutting it down before it saves them properly to the hard drive.
That's actually a pretty good analogy, yeah. Dr. Dregway from Yale puts it very clearly. If encoded information is not consolidated after exposure to new experiences, you simply won't remember it. You might feel like you know it right after cramming, that feeling of familiarity, but for it to really stick and be something you can recall and use later, you need that sleep to consolidate it.
And sleep isn't just about memory, right? It's doing other really essential background work, like brain maintenance and cleaning.
Yes, absolutely vital work. Sleep is thought to be involved in something called synaptic pruning, where your brain might sort of scale back some of the connections that got strengthened during the day, helping maintain balance and efficiency. It also seems necessary for translating protein templates into actual proteins, which is, fundamentally linked to healthy synaptic function,
Yeah.
how your brain cells talk to each other.
And the cleaning system. That sounds fascinating.
That's the glymphatic system. Think of it like a dedicated waste removal system for the brain. And it turns out it's significantly more efficient during sleep again, especially slow wave sleep. As Dr. Benveniste from Yale puts it, now I think we're understanding another purpose of sleep may also be to give the brain time to clean itself.
And allowing that waste to build up, that's bad news for brain function, presumably.
It really is. The accumulation of these waste metabolites, things like beta amyloid, which you hear about in relation to Alzheimer's, is linked to cognitive disorders. And the Yale source even mentions a study showing that just one single night of sleep deprivation can increase beta amyloid levels in the brain.
Wow. Okay, so an all-nighter isn't just stopping your brain from filing away memories properly. It might be actively hindering this crucial cleaning process and potentially leaving harmful junk behind. That adds a whole new layer to the cost of skipping sleep.
It certainly suggests that. It's not a passive process you're skipping. You're potentially disrupting active vital maintenance. And interestingly, the efficiency of this glymphatic system can even be influenced by simple things like your sleeping position. The source note side or back positions seem to be preferred in both humans and animals.
All right, so the science seems overwhelmingly clear. Prioritizing sleep, especially around tests, is the way to go. But let's be real, students face huge challenges, crazy schedules, being natural night owls, stress, juggling everything, like the sources mention.
Absolutely, the pressures are real.
So how can you actually make this happen amidst all that chaos? It's one thing to know it, another to do it.
It definitely requires being intentional and planning ahead, but the sources do offer a wealth of practical sleep hygiene tips that can make a real difference if you apply them consistently.
Okay, lay them on us. What are the key actionable steps people can take?
First off, routine, routine, routine. Try hard to establish a regular bedtime and wake time, yeah, even on weekends as much as possible. This really helps regulate your internal body clock, your circadian rhythm, and have some kind of consistent bedtime ritual. Brush teeth, maybe read a physical book for 15 minutes, something calm to signal to your body, hey, it's time to wind down now.
Creating the right environment seems key too, right?
Oh, absolutely essential. Make your bedroom a sleep haven. Cool, quiet, dark. Comfortable bedding helps, obviously. Think about blackout curtains or an eye mask if light's an issue. Maybe a warm bath before bed can also help you relax physically.
Any rules around eating or drinking before bed?
Yeah, generally avoid big meals, caffeine, obviously, or fizzy drinks. Close to bedtime, they can definitely disrupt sleep. A light snack or maybe a warm milky drink might actually be helpful for some people. And this is a big one, probably the hardest for many students. Avoid those bright screens from phones, laptops, tablets, TV for at least 30 minutes before bed, ideally longer. That blue light really messes with melatonin production. Best case, get those devices out of the bedroom altogether.
That is a tough one. What about things you can do during the day that might help?
Regular exercise is great for sleep. Just try not to do really intense workouts too close to your bedtime. And getting outside for some natural daylight exposure, especially earlier in the day, is also really important for setting that internal clock.
And for those times when you just need a quick boost, what about the power nap we talked about earlier?
Yeah, if you need a nap for alertness, the advice is generally to keep it short, think 10 to 20 minutes. Avoid those longer naps, like 30 minutes or more, because they can leave you feeling groggy, that's sleep inertia, or they might make it harder to fall asleep later that night.
Okay, what if you follow the rules, get into bed, and you just can't fall asleep? You're just lying there staring at the ceiling.
Yeah, that's frustrating. The advice is don't just lie there stressing about it for hours. If you can't fall asleep after, say, 20 or 30 minutes, get out of bed. Go do something quiet and relaxing in dim light. read a physical book again, listen to some calm music until you feel genuinely tired, then go back to bed. You want to associate your bed with sleep, not frustration.
Good tip. Any other general things to avoid?
Well, avoid smoking nicotine as a stimulant. And generally, try to avoid relying on sleeping pills unless they're prescribed by a doctor for a specific diagnosed issue. They can kind of mess with the natural stages of sleep.
And what about dealing with that inevitable student stress and anxiety, especially when exams are looming?
Yeah, that's huge. Practicing relaxation techniques is vital. The UTEP counselor mentioned in the 74 article had a neat, simple finger thought method. Just touch each fingertip with your thumb, and for each finger, think of something positive, something good that happened, someone you appreciate, a happy memory, something you're proud of. It's a simple mindfulness exercise to shift focus away from worries. The Yale source also mentions behavioral techniques, like making sure your daily activity patterns are regular as part of therapies like Sleep Smart.
And if these sleep problems feel more serious or chronic,
then definitely seek help. If you're dealing with chronic insomnia or really significant sleep issues, reaching out to university counseling services like the UTEP CAPS-ES mentioned, or seeing a doctor is important. Sleep problems often go hand in hand with stress, anxiety, or depression, and getting professional support can make a huge difference.
Okay, so bringing it all together then, based on this deep dive into all these sources, what's the big picture?
I mean, it paints a remarkably clear picture, doesn't it? The science strongly suggests that prioritizing sleep, especially the night before an exam, is significantly more beneficial for your memory, your cognitive function, and ultimately your academic performance, than sacrificing that sleep time to cram more information in.
Right. It's not just about feeling rested. It's an essential investment in your brain's actual ability to use the information you've worked so hard to learn.
Precisely. It's about giving your brain the downtime it needs for that crucial consolidation making memories stick, for cleaning out the metabolic waste products that literally hinder clear thinking, and just for maintaining the sharp cognitive edge you need to perform your best, you know, versus operating in that state of measurable cognitive impairment that's kind of like being under the influence. As Thomas Roth has quoted in a couple of the sources, sleep is an investment in the energy you need to be effective tomorrow.
That's definitely something for you, the listener, to really think about as you navigate your own study habits and stress levels. Is that extra hour of tired, probably pretty inefficient cramming truly worth the hit to your brain's fundamental ability to recall and apply information when it actually counts?
Yeah, maybe this raises a final important question for you to consider. If sleep is this crucial period when your brain is actively consolidating everything you learned and cleaning itself out, is pulling an all-nighter basically just preventing your brain from doing the two most essential things it needs to do to be ready for a test? And thinking longer term, what are the potential cumulative consequences of consistently interrupting that vital biological process night after night?